Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We know you're present in this room. You watch our service. So I pray that you would please, because we praise you from the bottom of our heart. And I pray that you would bless this worship service. Everything we do for your glory, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The good news in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 21-31. If you had a PowerPoint, the good news. There's three missionaries and three cannibals must cross the river using a boat which can carry no more than two persons. The missionaries left on either bank of the river must not be outnumbered by the cannibals. And the cannibals will overpower and eat the missionaries. The boat cannot cross the river by itself with no one on board. So how do all the missionaries and the cannibals safely cross the river? The problem goes back to the 19th century in this form. But the variant dates back at least in the 800s. It's been a long time ago. So I leave this puzzle for you to think about. But here another one, another puzzle. There is a God who is absolutely perfect. Everything he does is right. And there are creatures he made that he wants to be in a right relationship with him. Which means they need to be perfect too. But all of you know they are not perfect. However, how hard they try to be right, but they go wrong. God has done everything to help them to be right. He gives them rules to guide them, but they still keep going wrong, very wrong. Now I ask you, if God is perfect, he has to deal with imperfect, get rid of all the wrong. If he doesn't do that, he must do the right thing. So it means he's not just. But again, God loves his creature, you and I, people. He really, really wants them to be in a right relationship with him. So how can he deal with the wrong so as do right, yet somehow make right those who are wrong? So this is the real puzzle in life. And all of you know, you and I are those creatures which God created. And the problem is the problem of human sins. And the solution you will find in the book of Romans chapter 3. Because when we go back to the question, how can God hate sin yet still love to the sinners? How can he be both just and merciful? And the book of Romans said, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, but witnessed by the law of the prophet. But all of you know, Romans 3:23 talking about, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we are the sinner. And if, you know, for the human being, we always try to be good by our own effort, but we never be good enough. That reason why Paul he wrote in the Romans chapter 3:23, we all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. If we want to escape the damage, the destructive, devastating effect of sin, we need to be rescued. And only God be able to rescue us. But we go back to the question, how can God rescue us from all our wrongdoing, yet still deal justly with all our nastiness? And it through, the Bible said, through Jesus Christ. So that's the beginning of the good news. If you and I read the Bible together from verse 24 to 26, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sin that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What exactly Paul tried to communicate to us about the good news? Because we are the sinner, and God is just. He had to punish sin. However, because of His merciful, He had to figure out a way to save us. But again, had to satisfy His just, but is also His merciful by His love, and through Jesus Christ. So the good news is salvation by grace through faith in Christ involves justification. And secondly, involves redemption. And thirdly, involves in atonement. So what exactly the justification in the good news? I want you and I imagine we're in the courthouse. The image here, the image of the courtroom, and the image of the judge declare someone not guilty. Imagine ourselves, we were there, we in that dock in the courtroom. What a relief to hear the pronouncement, not guilty. And what a surprise, because we know we are guilty. Based on verse 23, all have sinned. So how has that not guilty verdict come about? It's not to do with what we've done or what we are, but something that gave freely. It's something that comes from entirely because of God's grace. In verse 24, the altogether undeserved yet awesomely deep love God for us. But there is a problem. God cannot just pretend sin isn't there. It would not be right. It would not be just. It would go against God's perfect character. Sin must be dealt with, and sin bears a price. So why there is a need for redemption? Redemption. In verse 24, redemption is mean buying back, pay the price. Most probably the image Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote this word that the about buying out of the slavery. I think that's the image he had in mind when he talked about redemption. If we go back to the history, there's a lot of slaves in the Roman Empire. Some of the slaves, they work, they be able to work and save up the money to buy their freedom. In our natural state, we are slaves to sin. Because the Bible, Paul, he stressed, all have sinned. But God had paid the price to buy us out of that slavery to sin. But again, how has that price been paid? He said, or the Bible said, it came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a crucifix atonement. And if you go to verse 24-25, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate of His righteousness. When you hear the term atonement, we need to go back to the ancient Jewish ritual worship. When you hear the term of atonement cover or the mercy seat, it's talking, you know, the ark of God is in the holiest place. In the temple of God, there is the holy place and the holy of holy. And the ark is right in the holy of holy. And the atonement at that time by the ritual, they symbolize the sacrifice, sprinkling of blood on the mercy seat or the atonement cover. And by do that, based on the book of Leviticus, and the highest priest will pray for the people, and the people basically will be washed away from the sin. So he used that term. But again, to deal with sin, the blood of Jesus Christ makes us one with God. And in order to do that, it must take two effects. Firstly, the sin needs to be wiped away. Some of the version you would find out in John, 1 John chapter 1, 7, it talks about, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have the fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So basically, the blood of Christ acts as the disinfection to clean the sin on a us. The word in the Bible, some of the version, it used the word expiation. It's basically what wipe away. Disinfection, you remove. But again, the second meaning is also talking about God's anger against sin must be appeased. And the word in the Bible using propitiation, it means it had to present to God to be washed away. So that reason why, if you read closely in Romans chapter 5, verse 25, we're talking about as the one who would turn aside his angry, taking away sin. And that's the meaning of atonement. I'm a little bit go in the limb here, try to explain to you some of the theology, the word theology in the book of Romans. So you would understand in terms of atonement, if God not angry with all sin, then he is not just. So God's anger must be appeased. And God himself does it in Jesus Christ. So the atonement through Jesus Christ had to happen. So that reason why the term expiation and propitiation would make sense for the whole thing. It means, you know, disinfection, and then God had to be pleased with what we are. Even though we still have sin. As long as we live, we still have sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ covers. And through that blood, God sees us as clean. And that's what the whole idea, philosophy, or theology of God is on about. So what I try to communicate to you, three-word picture, the image of the courtroom about justification. We declare not guilty. The second image is buying us out of slavery, redemption. And the third image, the price of freedom. Somebody had to pay. And we know through Jesus Christ. A lot of you already know about Jesus Christ already. He's God. He is God. He's 100% God. Okay? And when we go back to the book of John, in the beginning, there's the word. The words mean Jesus Christ. The word is with God, and the word is mean Jesus Christ is God. So he's 100% God from the beginning of time or before time. And he's also 100 man. He coming down to earth, become man, born through Virgin Mary. And to do what? To die on the cross because of our sin. And through him, by grace, through faith, we have, believe in him, we have everlasting life. So we're talking about all of this, justification, redemption, atonement, is come through freely by God's grace. We cannot earn it, but it's come through faith in or of Jesus Christ. To all who believe, And that's what verse 22 is talking about. So for us, this means when we trust in God, who rescues us, responding to God's love expressed through Jesus Christ. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. At what point try to communicate with the people of Roman? Because if you go back to history, the people of Roman, they worship a lot of Greek God. So suddenly, Paul or his disciple very much communicate Christ, Jesus Christ, God, to the people. Let a lot of people come to Christ to have everlasting life. It means they had to move from one state of my belief system through, go back and believe in God and worship God. The same thing for most of people in the world. Same thing for the Vietnamese people, or people from Africa, from Asia, from Europe. You will find out a lot of people in the world, they worship idol. It means one belief system. But we know if they not believe in Christ, in God, they would be perished. So that reason why Paul tried to communicate with the people at that time. We need to spread the gospel, pull the people out of sinfulness, out of sinful life, and introduce them to God through Jesus Christ so they have everlasting life. Because God loves us. So what we try to communicate in here, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption is in Jesus Christ. If all of us here are, most of us, those who believe, who have faith in Jesus Christ, we have everything, absolutely everything, to thank and praise God. So if you continue to read the Roman chapter 3, a few verses later, he advises us, we need to be humble. Don't boast about what we have. Because we, deep down in us, we're still a sinner. But by grace of God, by we cover by blood of God, we become righteous. So don't boast from something we're not we rely on God to have it. But again, if we not yet believe, and then we need to recognize our life, if we not believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God, to self-correction through by grace, through Jesus Christ. And then we continue to keep doing wrong. We're going wrong. So we need to realize we need to be rescued. And now is the time. Now is the time to recognize what God freely offers. He freely offers to us the salvation. And he freely offers through Jesus Christ, by his grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we will be justified, not guilty. We will be buying back from slavery or redemption. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will be very much atonement to be free. So that's the reason why if any one of you in this room, you have never truly prayed except Jesus Christ, now is the time. Because we need to understand the price has been paid. We can be assured we're not guilty verdicts. And we need to repent from our past and let God the Spirit control us so we can move forward to the future. Okay, let's all stand up so we can read this verse together. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Read one more time. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to reveal your theology through the book of Romans chapter 3. So we're thankful that we are justified. We are redemptive through you. and we wash, our sin have been washed away through atonement of blood of Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for that. So I pray that we share the gospel to the people still in the wrong way. They still worship idol. So we pray we share the gospel to put them back to you, the Almighty God, so they can have everlasting life just like we have. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all of us in this room from now and forever. Amen.